Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, I began a message entitled, What to Do When Your Knees Buckle? And we've been looking, just starting, to look at the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And the reason I'm doing this is I feel some of you that are listening are really tired. You're weary. Now, it's very natural for all of us to get physically weary, and if that's the case, well, we know a time of rest, a good night's sleep, a vacation, those types of physical rest for the body secure strength and health and renewal back to the body. But what about when we get spiritually weary? Have you ever been that way? I know I have, and some of you listening right now, that's exactly where you're at. You're just tired of the battles. You feel you have no more resources. You've been tried and tried, and you're irritable if you're really honest and impatient. Sometimes it's hard to cover that over, but it is not well with your soul. Oh, you know, you're saved and you love the Lord, but things aren't just the way they should be. And that's because we are constantly in a battle. We were just looking on yesterday's broadcast at those first couple of verses in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And basically, Paul, the assumed author, is saying, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, and he tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And he was using imagery that was very familiar to the readers of his day. He was using the great festivals of Greece, the public games, and there was severe discipline of all the contestants. There was intense competition, even as today in our Olympics, and of course there was a crowd of spectators. And he's likening our Christian walk, or really it's a race, if you will, in which we, the children of God, are the contestants, and the course is lined on either side with spectators. Some are cheering us on to reach the goal, and others don't care, or they're actively working to trip us up, to get us detoured, to get us to fall, and to get out of the race. And of course, the world could care less. They're looking on skeptically, if they even glance our way at all. And we do have an opponent, the devil, the angels. They look to place obstacles in our path, and Satan has a great knowledge of human nature, and he knows just exactly what strategy will work for you. It's different for what'll work on me. From the moment we took our first breath, he was there watching, and he knows those who are our good seed, those whom God's hand is on to bring into the marvelous kingdom of his dear Son, and he does everything he can, sometimes especially for God's beloved in childhood, in our early years. So many of God's people, thank God for those that were raised by Christian parents, but so many of God's people have very painful childhood experiences. And so, in fact, I think those whose hand God's hand is on sometimes experience some of the greatest warfare when they're young and innocent and have no weapons to really defend themselves. But praise God, regardless of what your background was like, now, if you're a Christian, and I don't care how old you are, God has given resources for you to receive complete and full healing. The devil may make you think, well, you know, this is just the way I am. You know, I'm advanced in years. There's nothing I can do about it. That's a lie. Everything he tells you is a lie. We need to look at the Word of God. And of course, going back to this great cloud of witnesses, we've got the angels looking on, cheering us on, if you will, and the saints of God of all ages, our loved ones, they also are encouraging us. And of course, God is looking on as well, and he's the epitome of love and cares so much and wants to give us all we need in this race that we're running. So going back to the verse, Paul says, this is what the instruction is. He said, let us lay aside every weight, which is every hindrance, burden, or care, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. He's actually, there's two different things there. There's the weights we carry, and then there's sometimes the sin. Like if things aren't going our way, or if sometimes we get weary, and that's, you know, the devil knows when we're vulnerable, that's when we actually do commit sin. We start murmuring and complaining, just like the children of Israel. Sometimes we read the Old Testament and think, oh my golly, how dense were they? How dumb. They just seen all God's mighty miracles. Boy, if I'd have seen God's miracles like that, I wouldn't have been disbelieving. Well, beloved, we're really not much the same. Look at the ways God has helped you in your past. You've seen miracles. You've seen his deliverance. And yet, new situations come along, and it's like, oh my, what am I going to do? We're all, you know, that's just the way we are. But as I say, the more we learn and get God's word in us, the more we grow up, the greater maturity levels, the less we are inclined to do that. In fact, we can actually come to a place where we count it all joy. Have you reached that place yet? I hope you're striving for it just as I am. Anyway, the Revised Standard Version, I read the King James, that's my Bible, says, and the sin which clings so closely. And the Greek words that are used in this passage describe the hampering effects of a clinging robe, which would affect a runner's ability. Just think about that. I mean, if someone's really trying to run in a race, they don't want anything that's going to get tangled up in their legs. And in terms of applying it spiritually to our lives, it could refer to the sins of drifting, of dullness, of a lack of spiritual exercise, lack of maturity. It could also be a besetting sin of unbelief, which is antagonistic to faith. Now, beloved, I just want to stop right here and share something. I'm not sure what propelled me to do this, but a number of years ago, I think I was reading the Word, and I don't remember how, but I have a sign in my bathroom cupboard. I've had it up for years. When I moved, I put it in my new location. It's not the medicine cabinet, but it's one of the little cabinets in the bathroom. And I have, thou shalt not mope. Now, you've probably heard that word, somebody moping around. Well, let me give you the definition. The archaic meaning of mope, that's M-O-P-E, means to act in a dazed or stupid manner. Well, now that's pretty rough, isn't it? That's pretty harsh. A little more modern rendition of that word, the definition is to give oneself up to brooding, to become listless or dejected, to move slowly or aimlessly, to dawdle, to make dull, dejected, or listless. To give oneself up to brooding, to become listless or dejected. Oh, come on now. Beloved, I have to confess to you that in days past, I certainly have been involved in that. I took it to a new level. I was very, very accomplished at moping. in fact, I took it to an artistic level, I declare. I was very good at it. And when I realized, the Holy Spirit at one point made me realize what I was doing, I actually made this sign, thou shalt not mope. And it's really very pretty. I put it in some letterhead that's got colored flowers around here. And beloved, some of you fit that definition. Some of you are moping today. And I just want to tell you in the name of Jesus, stop it. Stop it right now. Don't do it anymore. And in fact, if you would like a copy of my little sign that I have in my bathroom, please just request it, Thou Shalt Not Mope, and I'd be very happy to send it to you. I also have a scripture on there, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And, you know, I was just remembering, there was a brother, what was his name? Rick Renner, I think, a wonderful Greek scholar. Knows the word. And I remember the Lord spoke to him once, him sharing this, that the Lord told him he was slothful. And he almost got offended. He said, Lord, I'm not slothful. And when we hear that word, we tend to think of someone who's lazy. Well, certainly he was not lazy. And I'd have to say that I'm not lazy. I have worked hard all my life. I'm a worker. I enjoy working. Another sense or meaning of that word means a lack of zeal, a lack of enthusiasm. And he was guilty of that. I've been guilty of that. And you know what? I would suggest that probably you have too at times. You might find yourself in that condition right now. So, beloved, in order to really move on from that place of listlessness, that sense of a vague sense of something not right, we have to identify where we are. Ask the Holy Spirit. And then we just repent. Lord, I don't want to be weary in well-doing. I want to continue to run the race. And that's what Paul is telling us to do. Let us run with patience. That means even if we stumble, we don't give up. If we trip, or if we receive criticism from a hostile world or loved ones, or if someone overtakes us on a particular lap, rather we're to run with patience, and then we're to do something else. We have to wait till tomorrow's broadcast to look at that. But beloved, get up. You know, so often, have you ever started a diet or an exercise program and you blow it, and then you just throw up your hands and you just go back to where you were? Beloved, that's behaving in an immature way. It's childish behavior. So let's grow up. I love you. That's why I'm talking this way, because I really want God's best for you. So let's run with patience. And that's all the word I can give you right now. And tomorrow we'll continue on. I do invite you to be with me. But if you need prayer support, I encourage you to write. It's always a blessing to hear from new listeners. And I'm so grateful for my UCM spiritual family, their prayer support, as well as their financial gifts. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,